This is Jay Sekulow. The Supreme Court issues its decision in the partial birth abortion cases.
This is a huge opinion out of the U.S. Supreme Court. Huge. This is the biggest case that was argued this year.
I'm pleased that all of you have joined us as the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003 becomes the law of the land. This law is constitutional.
Why is it not an appropriate interest that the state is worried about rendering society callous to infanticide?
This law is compassionate.
I think it's a concern with the horror of seeing, a live human creature outside the womb dismembered.
My administration will vigorously defend it in the courts.
It is a significant victory for the Bush administration and for abortion opponents.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Huge news out of the Supreme Court of the United States. It's a 5-4 decision. The ban on partial birth abortion has been upheld as constitutional. By the way, folks, this is a decision by Justice Kennedy. And as you know, we were heavily involved in the trial of this case, in the appeals of this case, and of course, representing members of Congress and the Senate that actually wrote the legislation before the Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to be joined a little bit later in the broadcast by the former Attorney General of the United States, John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General when all of this was going on. A huge victory, a monumental victory. We want to know what you have to think about this victory for life. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A huge opinion. Jordan, the language in the opinion is really breathtaking in scope.
Well, Dad, I know it's important for everyone out there to know that this was the first time the court had banned a specific procedure in a case over how, not whether, to perform an abortion, the first time since Roe versus Wade the court has done this. But, Dad, an interesting thing, and Justice Ginsburg in her dissent points this out, but in Justice Kennedy, who wrote the majority opinion, joined by the five justices, it was a 5-4 decision, said, abandoned the use of the word fetus in some of the language and actually said partial birth abortion confuses the medical, legal, and ethical duties of physicians to preserve and promote life. As a physician acts directly against the physical life of a child whom he or she just delivered, all but the head, out of the womb in order to end that life. And throughout the opinion, Dad, written by Justice Kennedy, instead of the word fetus, when they talk about the procedure, they talk about the child or the unborn child, and that's very important.
It is. It's one of the things we assert in our briefs. Also in the opinion, you'll see words like the government has a legitimate and yet substantial interest in preserving and promoting fetal life, that it would be repudiated if Congress's act was declared unconstitutional. The court goes on to say part of the problem here is the doctors don't tell the women exactly what's involved here. And he says, quote, this undermines the public perception of the appropriate role of the physician during the delivery process and perverts a process during which life is brought into the world, quoting the congressional fact-finding. Folks, this ramifications of this decision are absolutely breathtaking in scope. I'm going to be joined a little bit later in the broadcast by Walter Weber, who worked on our brief to the Supreme Court of the United States. We're also going to be joined, as I said, by the former Attorney General of the United States, John Ashcroft. The opinion is a 5-4 decision. The opinion is signed by, it's written by, Justice Anthony Kennedy. By the way, it was Justice Kennedy that gave us the opinion in the Mount Soledad case last year in favor of the monument, this year upholding the ban on partial birth abortion. He was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts, Justices Alito and Scalia, and Justice Thomas. Interestingly, it is because of the switch from Justice O'Connor to Justice Alito that this decision is a 5-4 decision, because you'll remember Justice O'Connor previously ruled against the position that we advocated, which was in favor of the ban on partial birth abortion. As Jordan mentioned, this is the most significant victory in the pro-life fight because it's the first time a substantive procedure on abortion has been prohibited. So this is a huge, huge day. Folks, you were there when the decision was made to have this enacted into law. You were with us when we fought to have this become the law of the land. We fought in the trial courts. We fought in the courts of appeals, fought in the Supreme Court of the United States, and each of you were there with us, which we appreciate greatly. We're going to talk more about this when we come back from the break. Hey, folks, we are reengaging now also on the stem cell debate. What a better day to stand up for life than today. You go to your phones right now. Join the 85,000 of you. You heard, your voice matters. 877-989-2255. Taking a stand for life now on the stem cell bill. 877-989-2255. Or ACLJ.org. We're going to get a win on that stem cell bill, too. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
A troubling vote in the U.S. Senate clears the way for the federal government using your tax dollars to conduct research on stem cells taken from human embryos.
It brings up Nazi-esque type of procedures.
What's next? A presidential veto? The American Center for Law and Justice knows that it's now up to President Bush to veto this unacceptable legislation. Legislation that amounts to nothing more than a frontal assault against human life. And the ACLJ is working to provide a margin of support in the Senate so a presidential veto cannot be overridden. It's a critical time to stand for life.
This is really serious. And folks, we got a real, real battle here.
Stop embryonic stem cell research now. Add your name to the petition to protect human life. Call now. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online at aclj.org.
Regent Law School is training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. He knows the value of an education at Regent University, and he knows Regent School of Law is much more than just an educational institution.
Regent is unique in that it offers the highest quality of legal education from a Christian perspective, and we never sacrifice intellectual integrity.
If you're considering a career in the law, it's time for you to consider Regent Law School. Regent Law School is distinctive because it integrates the study of law with biblical principles. Regent believes that law is more than just a profession. It's a calling. The time to apply right now. If you would like more information about the School of Law at Regent University or would like to enroll, call this toll-free number, 1-877-267-5072. That's 1-877-267-5072. There's more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Congress was entitled to make a judgment in furthering its legitimate interests that they were going to ban a particularly gruesome procedure that blurred the line between abortion and infanticide.
And a majority of the Supreme Court of the United States agreeing with that position that was advocated by the Solicitor General of the United States, Paul Clement. A huge victory here. The government has a legitimate and substantial interest in preserving and promoting fetal life. It would be repudiated were the court now to affirm the judgments of the courts of appeals, which overturned this act. This litigation took place, and I will tell you, it was a long process. We had about 3 years worth. I was in the White House when the president was talking about the defense of this and looked at me and said, how is this going to be defended? I said, we're going to have an uphill battle, but we're going to defend aggressively. The Department of Justice, under the Attorney General of the United States, then John Ashcroft, instituted a very aggressive defense posture. We got to defend the statute. We got in there with them to help. Spent, as many of you remember, 6 weeks or more than that in New York City litigating the case, helping the Justice Department, and then, of course, writing briefs ultimately to the Supreme Court of the United States on behalf of members of Congress that actually drafted and sponsored the legislation. So this is a huge 5-4 victory. I had a chance to speak with General John Ashcroft just a few moments ago. Let's take a listen. General, a big win here, 5-4, Justice Kennedy writing the opinion. We knew it'd be close. We're certainly glad it came out this way. Your sense and thoughts on this big day for the pro-life community?
Well, it's a day of gratitude for me. And among the sort of feelings of appreciation that I have is the appreciation I have for you in helping develop the strategy. I remember the meetings we had, and there was disagreement, even with people on our side of the issue, about how we should move forward and whether we should move forward with the idea of ultimately winning the case or whether we should move forward in a way that probably would lose the case but create a political issue. It's at a moment like this that I want to thank you and thank the ACLJ for its support in the development of a strategy to win the issue, to have an opportunity to have this issue understood at the highest level in the halls of justice, the United States Supreme Court, and to have it pled so convincingly and with such clarity that the highest court in the land would sustain what the representatives of the people have done. The court has really not given the people an opportunity to ban partial birth abortion so much as the Congress worked to ban partial birth abortion, and having done so, the court has said the Congress acted properly and within the Constitution. the will of the people expressed by the Congress will be sustained, and that's a great victory for America and for the concept of people being able to develop laws that reflect their values and their respect for human dignity and life.
Well, I want you to know also, General, we appreciate your leadership on this because you had to make some very tough decisions. I remember those meetings well, and where there was some disagreement, we all agreed a number of us agreed that the procedure should be to try to win the case. At the end of the day, you had to make the call on which way to go. You went that way and directed the department in such a way. And I want to also say a huge thank you to lawyers like Shannon Coff and Mike Wiggins and so many others that worked on. We spent many, many weeks together in New York City on a number of these cases. And what a great job overall. In general, your leadership made the difference, and we appreciate that so very much.
Everyone deserves credit. The students who helped with the research, the lawyers who litigated the issues, the development of the right strategy, people around the country who literally hoped and prayed and supported this concept, having a court that has the clarity of intellect to see that this indeed comports with the Constitution is something we can be grateful for. President of the United States has taken his Supreme Court appointments very seriously.
And you saw the difference today. Absolutely.
And as a result, we have the ability to respect the wishes of the people, the right of the Congress to make legislation in a context that respects human dignity and life. This is an aspiration we've had for years. I first ran for office in 1972, prior to Roe versus Wade. I announced at that time that I felt we needed to safeguard human life profoundly. The need became profoundly apparent, though, when the ability to safeguard human life was diminished, destroyed, and this is a significant step in the right direction.
General, again, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Those are the words of the former Attorney General of the United States, John Ashcroft, just moments ago, right before we went on air. He was in our studio on another matter here at our offices in Washington, D.C., right across the street, by the way, from the Supreme Court, which was nice because we literally walked across the street to get the opinion. Walter Weber is a senior counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice and was the primary architect of this brief on behalf of Congress. Walter, first, your thoughts on the nature and the scope of this win and how significant do you think this is?
Well, Jay, I think this is a really significant win in a lot of ways. I mean, you've got the particular statute being upheld here, which, of course, is very important. But we also have a lot of very helpful statements from the court as to what exactly the law is going forward. I mean, there's, a fairly direct endorsement in this case of informed consent laws that are very explicit
about
stating
the
state's interest in protecting human life. And the court has also said that if there's a medical dispute, then the state gets to make the call. I mean, it's not a matter of, well, it's an argument, therefore abortion wins. The normal rule in every other context is the state has to settle disputed medical questions, and this is going to be the same rule for abortion.
You know, it's interesting. One of the portions of the opinion reads, partial birth abortion confuses the medical, legal, and ethical duties of the physicians to preserve and promote life. As the physicians act directly against the physical life of a child whom he or she has just delivered all but the head out of the womb in order to end that life. And that's quoted by Justice Kennedy in the opinion. So the language, and you're talking about the informed consent, very clear here that Justice Kennedy, in his view, would support without a doubt informed consent and letting people know what goes on in these procedures, which was one of the things we argued so aggressively in the trial courts on this because these doctors used terminology that no one could understand.
That's right. Euphemism is the norm in these contexts. And, Kennedy, maybe it's somewhat ironic the way he says it. He says, in a decision that's so fraught with emotional consequence, some doctors may prefer not to disclose precise details. No kidding. They don't want to say what's going on at all. And then what a horror it is for women to find out after the fact, if they didn't know what was going on, what really happened.
Well, in fact, the court went on to say it is, however, precisely this lack of information concerning the way in which the fetus will be killed that is of legitimate concern to the state. That was exactly what is put forward in the opinion by Justice Kennedy. Jordan, we've got a lot of phone calls coming in. It's a huge victory here. Let's try to get some of those phone calls.
Cindy's calling from North Carolina on line 3. Cindy, welcome to JSEC Heal Live.
Thank you.
Hi, Cindy.
So much. This is the most incredible victory. I've been in tears ever since you started on the air. I've done 30 years of sidewalk ministry, but I want to know, since the Congress is so liberal, do you think that they, with Nancy Pelosi and others, would try to repeal this law
Well, this was that's a great question, Cindy. It was an act of Congress. They could undo the law. The president could veto that legislation, but they could undo it. I mean, you have to realize here that elections matter. It matters who's on the Supreme Court and impacts on the legislative process. This was a win, though. What it also authorizes here, in my view, and I'll get Walter's opinion on this, it gives the states room to regulate this horrific procedure as well, Walter. It's the states now have the authority, modeling it after this opinion, to go in and stop this, you know, partial birth abortion, which most of us consider to be infanticide.
Yeah, that's one of the I think it's going to be an enduring legacy of this opinion. Page 27 of the majority opinion, the court says, the government may use its voice and its regulatory authority to show its profound respect for the life within the womb. Within the woman. That means that the state can take a pro-life position, and not just take a pro-life position, but do something about it.
I think that's what you're going to see here, folks. We're going to obviously work now on the state side of this. There's much to do. 1-800-684-3110 is the number. A huge win at the Supreme Court of the United States. Jordan, who's next?
Let's go right to the phones. Ray is calling from North Carolina on line 5. Ray, welcome to JSEC. You're live.
Hello.
Hi, Ray.
Taking a call.
Sure.
Yes, this is a great encouragement to so many. Great encouragement to so many who are in a fight for what is right, for what is true. This should give a great shot in the arm for many people who have the courage just to hang in there and just be strong.
Well, let me tell you this. It's a great encouragement for those of us that have been litigating these cases for 20 or 30 years, because this is the first substantive win on an abortion procedure, I think, ever, Walter. I don't think there's never been another case. There have been another case where a substantive abortion procedure itself has been prohibited and the court said it's okay.
I think it was the opposite. I think the court struck down a ban on saline abortions in Danforth and Kalati struck down whatever the requirements were there.
Yeah.
This is probably a first.
Yeah, this is a first, folks. So this is a shot in the arm for us. But let me tell you something. This was a one-vote decision, which means who's serving in the White House, who's serving on the Supreme Court, really matters here. And, Jordan, that's something you worked on very, very aggressively back a few years ago when during the presidential campaigns. But the fact is that when you see the Supreme Court decisions, that's what matters.
Well, I know so many folks who have worked in the grassroots and they understand the importance of the president. But, folks, just think about this today. There are two reasons why, aside from what's happening in Iraq and what's happening in the rest of the country in the United States, two reasons why Christian conservatives who have been fighting in the pro-life movement for so long will always be indebted to President Bush: John Roberts and Sam Alito. And, Dad, never more has this demonstrated the importance of elections and the importance of supporting candidates who support life.
And that's precisely correct. And I will tell you this, folks, this is another statement, though. As we get ready now for the stem cell bill to be vetoed, they're going to try to override that veto. This is another time when you need to have your voice heard. I can't think of a better day to do it than today. 877-989-2255. Add your name to this petition to protect life. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
When you go to Regent, you're not just going to a school, but you're gaining a family that operates with the spirit of excellence.
For Erica Dobbs, Regent University offered more than just a degree. It represented a life-changing experience. A Navy veteran who served our country in the Iraqi War, Erica knew that she wanted to go back to school. She was aware of Regent's commitment to teaching from a Christian worldview and was pleased to learn that Regent offered an undergraduate program. Taking classes on campus and online, Erica found her experience at Regent to be a breath of fresh air.
Here at Regent, they embrace you as though you're one of their children, and they want to see you make it to the next level.
At Regent University, we believe in leadership to change the world. Learn more at regentundergrad.com. For more information or to apply, call toll-free 1-800-374-4504. That's 1-800-374-4504. Enroll today, and just like Erica Dobbs, you'll realize that when you choose Regent, you're choosing to change your life.
It was by far the best decision I could have ever made.
A troubling vote in the U.S. Senate clears the way for the federal government using your tax dollars to conduct research on stem cells taken from human embryos.
Who brings up Nazi-esque type of procedures.
What's next? A presidential veto? The American Center for Law and Justice knows that it's now up to President Bush to veto this unacceptable legislation, legislation that amounts to nothing more than a frontal assault against human life. And the ACLJ is working to provide a margin of support in the Senate so a presidential veto cannot be overridden. It's a critical time to stand for life.
This is really serious, and folks, we got a real, real battle here.
Stop embryonic stem cell research now. Add your name to the petition to protect human life. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org.
I think it's a concern with the horror of seeing, a live human creature outside the womb dismembered.
You know, one of the issues that came up in this, Walter, was this idea that the doctors basically can ignore what Congress does. In other words, Congress has no right to regulate. This is a medical decision. The life of the unborn child basically being insignificant to that decision. That's repudiated very profoundly in Justice Kennedy's opinion.
Yes. Kennedy says expressly for the following: the law need not give abortion doctors unfettered choice in the course of their medical practice, nor should it elevate their status above other physicians in the medical community. And I'm telling you, that is music to my ears. So often we have seen the special rules put in place where abortion doctors basically get to do whatever they want, and they get special privileges. They're immune from health inspections. They don't have to be held to the same requirements on informed consent in so many other areas. I'm glad to see that the majority of the court is now willing to say, look, they're doctors too. They got to follow the rules too.
Well, I think, look, folks, this is a huge decision. If you're just joining us, a 5-4 decision out of the Supreme Court of the United States in favor of the ban on partial birth abortion, something we fought for years, really decades, because it kept getting vetoed by President Clinton. Then it finally gets signed. We litigated it out and put a strategy in place, as John Ashcroft just said, that really ended up carrying the day here. And Walter did a great job on these briefs. And Paul Clement did a magnificent job in the oral argument. Let me say this also, a little bit of an aside here. The trial judge we had in New York was Judge Casey. He was a blind judge, and he'd lost his sight about 15 or 20 years ago. But he really, you could tell, although he'd held the statute constitutional because he felt he was bound as a lower court judge by Stenberg, he gave us the right kind of factual findings. He was in the courtroom on November 9th when the oral argument took place. He passed away just a couple of weeks ago before this opinion was rendered. But I will tell you, this was, as being in that man's courtroom, that judge's courtroom for 2 months, which we were, this was a judge that was clearly understood our position, believed in our position, thought he was bound by Stenberg, but was very interested in the case to the point that he actually came to the Supreme Court of the United States. And as I said, he just passed away just a few weeks ago. So the side on this is that there's real human interest in this, and the judge himself, who did such a great job, I think, in the trial court on the evidentiary findings, was great. And a lot of those evidentiary findings, Jordan, you just had a quote also, are finding their way into this opinion even now.
Well, it is. And the court, and we'd had many times on the show when this was at the Supreme Court, read over and over those descriptions from the trial in New York. And the court put some of that language in and put some of those descriptions from people who have witnessed, people that were nurses, put that in. But they also said that the state has an interest in ensuring so grave a choice is well informed. It is self-evident that a mother who comes to regret her choice to abort must struggle with grief, more anguished and sorrow more profound when she learns, only after the event, what she once did not know, that she allowed a doctor to pierce the skull and vacuum the fast-developing brain of her unborn child, a child assuming the human form. That was in the opinion, Dad, by the majority opinion. Of course, that is exactly the descriptions that we talked about on this show to explain to everyone how gruesome and how this is infanticide. And now the court has put this in an official Supreme Court opinion.
Jordan, you know, that's one of the things that's also very noteworthy about this opinion is that it recognizes that abortion can hurt women. There's a quotation where the court says, and this is quoting Justice Kennedy, it seems unexceptional to conclude that some women come to regret their choice to abort the infant life they once created and sustained. Severe depression and loss of esteem can follow. I'll tell you, and that's really an understatement from what the testimony of women has been, but now you've got the court acknowledging it. That is very important.
I mean, this is, folks, this is huge. If you're just joining us, a 5-4 victory in the Supreme Court of the United States on the abortion cases. I mean, it just the impact of this is so so significant. This is the first substantive win on a procedure, a prohibition on a procedure, and the impact of this is just phenomenal.
Let's go right back to the phone. Susie is calling from California on line four. Susie, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Susie.
Hi. I just want to call and say congratulations. You people work so hard at protecting Christians' rights, and that is just so huge. But I did have a question.
Okay.
Is there any way that they can come back and overturn this later on?
Well, look, any Supreme Court opinion can be overturned, so who's serving on the Supreme Court of the United States matters. I think we're in good shape for now, but look, a justice change here or there, this is a one-justice majority. I don't want to take anything away from the fact that this is a gigantic win that the Lord provided. This is a huge win, and as Walter's been saying, the language in here, and we're going to have a full analysis of this done over the next day, so we'll have it up on the website. There is already some short synopsises that we've already put on the website, but this is a huge win. But sure, look, a new Congress can come in and change the law, and another justice can come in and change the opinion, but right now, it is the law of the land. Let's try to get a couple more calls in.
Right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Terry's calling from New York on line 5. Terry, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Terry.
First, I just want to praise God for the victory. And, you know, this is a really big blow to the feminist movement and everything that, you know, claims that one life is less important than another. And I just want to ask another question. What's the progress on the Planned Parenthood bill?
Well, the defunding issue has been tough because they wanted more funding and they've got control in the House and the Senate. Now, this is going to be an interesting dynamic on how all this plays because the funding is one thing. Congress has the authority to fund, and I think they should be funding zero to Planned Parenthood, but they're funding tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. The question will be, will they get more money? What is the reaction? And, Jordan, I know we've got our people in our media department looking at this. Have we got a reaction from Planned Parenthood yet or in the National Organization for Women or NARAL?
Yeah, you've got Planned Parenthood, Dad, with a two-sentence reaction. The typical kind of stuff, the ruling flies in the face of the Supreme Court's precedent. Today the court took away an important option for doctors who seek to provide safety to their patients. That's it. I mean, you're talking about a two-cent response, nothing on NARAL's website, nothing on National Organization for Women yet.
Of course, a majority of the Supreme Court obviously didn't think it flew in the face
right.
of Supreme Court precedent, including Justice Kennedy, who's been a critical vote for them, frankly, on a lot of these cases. That seems to not be the case now. Let's get another call.
Olivia is calling from Virginia on line 4. Olivia, welcome to JSEC Live.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi. I just want to thank you for the humongous job, the great job that you did. I'm elated. I thank God for this.
Well, look, we couldn't do this job that we did without your help and prayers and support. So this is a victory that we're sharing here as lawyers. We're thrilled. I could tell you, thrilled is an understatement. I'm overwhelming with joy on this. But look, we couldn't do it without you all and our friends and members around the country that are standing with us on this, especially a case that's been going on for so many years, which this one did. This was about 3-4 years worth of litigation here. But the end result is a decision that could not be better. Walter, you're looking, I know we're just digesting the opinion, folks, literally, it came down just before we went on air. But in looking at this opinion, this was everything we really hoped for as far as how the language that Justice Kennedy used. It was not a benign opinion in that sense. There's some very strong language here.
Well, I think what it is really it's a vindication of what Justice Kennedy thought he was doing in the Casey opinion. Because Casey, as he understood it, was designed to say to the legislatures, look, we've been tough on you guys for many years, striking down just about everything. You really have a lot you can do here in terms of informed consent, parental notice, parental consent, regulations of abortion. And then Stenberg comes along, and it was like a betrayal in Kennedy's view. Now he's setting the record straight, saying, no, when we said in Casey you have a legitimate interest in protecting human life, we meant it. That was not just language.
Well, folks, the decision on this couldn't be any more significant. If you go to ACLJ.org, there's updated information there on the website already. Analyses are up there and more coming over the next hour. So go to ACLJ.org for updates there. Folks, you saw your voice mattered. You helped get this legislation put forward. You helped get it passed. You helped it be defended. Your voice made a difference. God honored the prayers of so many people around the country. We need to do the same thing right now on this stem cell debate. That's going to come up, could come up as early in the House as this week, if certainly next. And we're looking at the president saying he will veto that. We want to make sure we can sustain that veto. And as we won the Supreme Court case by one vote in the United States Senate, as far as the sustaining the veto, we only have a one-vote margin right now. That's all there is on the Senate side of this. A little bit more in the House, but in the Senate side. So we're trying to build the support to sustain that veto. You call right now. Add your name to this petition to protect life. I can't think of a better way to celebrate than doing that. You call us at 877-989-2222. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign up online as well. Obviously, more information about this case tomorrow. More information posted at ACLJ.org a little bit later in the day. You go to your phones right now, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.